Amen. I'm looking forward to that day. How about you?
Amen.
Let's all stand for the reading of the Word of God. Turn your Bibles to the book of Acts, chapter number 17. Acts chapter number 17. We're going to pick up where we left off on Wednesday night, because there's a message here in the message that Paul preaches. Acts chapter number 17. We're going to read verses 16 through 21 to lay the foundation this morning. Acts chapter 17, verse 16 through 21. I'll read the first verse. You can read verse 17 together with me. I'll read verse 18. Read verse 19 together with me, and so forth till we get to verse number 21. Acts chapter 17, verse number 16, the Bible says, "Now while Paul waited for them at Athens, his spirit was stirred in him when he saw the city wholly given to idolatry. Therefore disputed he in the synagogue with the Jews and with the devout persons, and in the market daily with them that met with him. Then certain philosophers of the Epicureans and of the Stoics encountered him, and some said, 'What will this babbler say?' Others, he seemeth to be a setter forth of strange gods, because he preached unto them Jesus and the resurrection. And they took him and brought him unto Areopagus, saying, 'May we know what this new doctrine whereof thou speakest is? For thou bringest certain strange things to our ears. We would know, therefore, what these things mean.' For all the Athenians and strangers which were there spent their time in nothing else but either to tell or to hear some new thing." You may be seated. Here in Acts chapter number 17 this morning, Paul had to go down to Athens to get away from the church he had started up in Berea and Thessalonians, the people he's seen saved because some envious Jews were chasing him down. And so he's there at Athens while he's waiting for Timotheus and for Silas to catch up with him. He walks around the city, and it just moves him because he sees the entire city wholly given to idolatry. I mean, they're worshiping at this time Zeus and all of the different gods that go along with Zeus. You know, they got the god for the water and the god for the air and the god for this and the god for that and the god for everything. And as he's walking around, verse 22, then Paul stood in the midst of Mars Hill and said, "Ye men of Athens, I perceive that in all things ye are too superstitious." Now, superstitious, that means over scrupulous and rigid in religious observances, addicted to superstition, full of idle fancies and scruples in regard to religion. Look, superstitious people rub a rabbit's foot just in case. Right? Okay, here the Athenians had made an altar to the unknown God just in case. Hey, just in case we forgot one, we don't want to make a God mad, and maybe we forgot a God that's out there. Let's make an altar to the unknown God, because maybe there's one we don't know about. And he says here in verse 23, "For as I passed by and beheld your devotions, I found an altar with this inscription, 'To the unknown God.' Whom therefore ye ignorantly worship, him declare I unto you." Paul says, hey, let me tell you who that unknown God is. Let me just stop and point out how sad an occurrence this is. In the beginning, God made one man and one woman, Adam and Eve. Everyone who has ever been born as a human has their genes in them. Red and yellow, black, brown and white. We all came from Adam and Eve. Adam walked with God in the Garden of Eden. He got to have conversations with the Lord. There were no idols. No false gods had been made by man to worship, nor thought up in the mind of mankind. Everyone that was on earth, both of them, knew who God was. And they knew he was their creator and that he was their God. Their children knew who God was. and worshiped him. But sadly, Cain took his family away from the Lord. And before the flood, those who refused to believe in God Almighty decided to make their own gods to worship. Joshua 24:15, he says, "And if it seem evil unto you to serve the Lord, choose you this day whom ye will serve, whether the gods which your fathers served that were on the other side of the flood," they made up false gods before the flood, "or the gods of the Amorites in whose land ye dwell. But as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord," Joshua said. And this is interesting. God made man to worship him, and man made gods to worship. Stop and think about that. If you make a god to worship, you are the god's creator. Is that right? So shouldn't the false god you made worship you? Then the flood came. Everyone on that ark knew who God Almighty was. They all saw his power. But there was another falling away from the truth, and how sad that mankind not only made other gods to worship instead of the one true God, but they even forgot who the one true God was. This is the state we find the Athenians in Greece in Acts chapter number 17. They don't even know and remember who God is. You can go down the street in downtown, small town America and find the same problem today. People that don't even know who God is. Paul goes on in verse 24 to tell them who God is. "God that made the world and all things therein, seeing that he is Lord of heaven and earth, dwelleth not in temples made with hands." I mean, as you went through, if you look in ancient Greece, they've got all these different buildings and they're beautiful. And a lot of them were temples and magnificently made. And so mankind went and made a god so that they could worship. And then they had to make a house for the god that they made to be in so they could go and worship him in the god's house that they made. And Paul is saying, you don't need to make God a house. You don't have to make any images of him so that he can exist. He is already there. He doesn't dwell in temples made with hands. The whole earth is his in the fullness thereof. In verse 25, "Neither is worshipped with men's hands as though he needed anything." You know, these false gods, if they were ever to fall over, you know what they would need? Some hands to pick them back up. Praise God, God's never fallen over. I tell you what, though, Dagon, that false god, fell over in front of the Ark of the Covenant when the presence of God was brought into the Philistines and their false god's house. When they got up in the morning, their false god was flat on his face. You know, they had to pick up their god to put him back up there because that's how weak he was. He couldn't even lift himself up to sit back on his pedestal. The next morning, they got up and he was flat on his face with his head and his hands cut off. I think God was trying to say, don't do that again. He doesn't dwell in a temple that you made with hands. He dwells in the entire universe, and the universe can't contain him. He's everywhere at once. He is everywhere we've never been. He's been all the way to the bottom of Challenger Deep to the very deep down bottom. He's been to the expanse of the universe, and he knows every star by name. The heavens of heaven cannot contain the real God. And he doesn't need anything. You don't have to come and give him sacrifices so that he can eat. The Lord said in the Old Testament, "If I was hungry, I wouldn't tell you. I own the cattle on 1,000 hills. And it says, seeing, verse 25, "He giveth to all life and breath and all things." Paul is saying here, God doesn't need you. You need God. He doesn't need you to feed him. He feeds you. You don't have to make a statue of him to bring him to life. He gave life to you. Verse 26, "And hath made of one blood all nations of men for to dwell on all the face of the earth, and hath determined the times before appointed and the bounds of their habitation." I'm going to say this verse just goes to show how silly racism is. We all have the same blood. Yes, there are different types, but when you get a blood transfusion, it isn't the skin color of the person that has to match, it's the blood type. And God made man to dwell on the earth. He knew the bounds of their habitation, where they would settle and live, and he hath determined the times before appointed, notice verse 27, that they should what? Seek the Lord. And who's he talking about? He's talking about the entire world. God wants the entire world to seek him. For God so loved a few people that he gave his only begotten son. Is that what that verse says, John 3:16? Oh, for God so loves Chinese people only that he gave his only begotten son. No, I don't see any qualifications in there. He says, for God so loved the world. Now, who does that include? Everybody. You know who God wants to get saved? Everybody. 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 All. That they should seek the Lord, the entire world. Let me just say, 2 Peter 3:9 tells us this. The Lord is not slack concerning his promise, as some men count slackness, but is long-suffering to usward, not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. God wants everybody to get saved. God wants everybody to believe. And God, it says, appointed their habitation so that they would seek him. God wanted the Gentiles to seek him. God wanted the lost to seek him. Not just the Jews, but praise God, there was a remnant that still believed in God Almighty. The only nation in the entire world that believed in God Almighty. Praise God they did, so that the Messiah could come down through them so we could have a chance to believe too. God wants everyone to come to him. God wants everyone to worship him. God wants everyone to believe on him. Acts 16:31, and they said, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved. Romans 10:9, that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, and shalt believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. Saved. Are you saved this morning? You say, I have believed in God all my life and that he exists all my life. James 2:19, thou believest that there is one God, thou doest well. The devils also believe and tremble. You know, it's not just enough to believe that there is a God. It's not just enough to believe that there is a God, that there's a creator that's out there. You have to believe on God. You have to say, you're my God. You have to say, I believe that you died, that you were buried, and that you rose again for me. I believe Jesus Christ is the perfect, sinless, virgin-born Son of God, and that he came down to die on the cross for my sins. I believe it. I accept it. I trust you. And unless you have called out to Jesus Christ and called out to the Father and told him you believe, you're not saved. Because he's the one that saves you, not you. Just you. Believing there is a God, you know, the devils believe that too. Yep. But the devils can't be saved because they can't believe on God. Have you believed on the Lord Jesus Christ this morning? God's desire was and is for the whole world to be saved. And Paul continues verse 27. He says, if haply they might feel after him. Haply means on accident or by chance. Not happily, but haply. If maybe they might feel after him, look, and find him. You know what happens if you seek after God? You find him. You know why? Because it says, though he be not far from any one of us. God's not that far away from any one of us. He's waiting. He's ready. He wants to reveal himself unto the lost. And if they'll just start seeking, is there a God out there? Guess what? He'll send a soul winner. He'll give him a track. He'll reveal himself some way. They'll hear preaching on the radio or preaching on the television. And he'll say, yes, I am real and this is me. And he'll answer their prayer. God wants every man, every woman, every boy, every girl to believe on him, to be saved from their sins. Acts chapter 17, verse 28, for in him we live and move and have our being, as certain also of your own poets have said, for we are also his offspring. For as much then as we are the offspring of God, we ought not to think that the Godhead is like unto gold or silver or stone graven by art and man's device. Look, if an idol that was made out of gold decided to create people in its image, what would they be made out of? Gold. If any of you are made out of gold this morning, can we borrow a hand to pay off the mortgage and pay the parking lot? If the God was made out of silver and God decided to create something in its image, what would that be made out of? Silver. Let me just say, God is not flesh, but he made us in his image, living and breathing, and two eyes and two ears and a nose and a mouth and teeth and a head and hands and arms and legs. We're made in his image. We're living and breathing. So is he living and breathing. And he's trying to point out, look, if your God's made you, you guys kind of be in trouble. The real God that made you isn't made out of gold. He's not made out of silver. He's not made out of stone. And he's not made by man. Verse 30, and the times of this ignorance, God winked at. Now, when we think winked at, we generally think, you know, if you're trying to, you know, you're trying to tease somebody and you're not telling them the truth, and someone else is there and you want them to get in on the joke, so you're just like, yeah, isn't that right? Or, you know, you're dating your special someone and you're across the room and you can't talk because something is going on, and you make eye contact and you go, you know, when we think of winking, that's kind of what we think about. But this verse right here, the times of this ignorant God winked at, God wasn't pleased. Oh, this is funny. No. What it's saying is God winked at. You know, sometimes when the judge looks at you and you're really in trouble, and he kind of squints and closes one eye and looks at you, and you know you're in trouble. Or you ever had your mom or dad? You know, they're so frustrated, the brow goes down and just closes that one eye. The times of this ignorance, God winked at, as in his one of his eyes was closed as he's looking at it, thinking, what in the world is going on? How sad, they've forgotten me. God wasn't happy about it. God wasn't laughing about it. You think God was laughing about people dying and going to hell and being separated from him forever? No, the time of this ignorance, God winked at, as in he closed his eye and looked at it thinking, ugh, what a shame. But now, look, now commandeth a few men some places to repent. Is that what your Bible says? But now says if you want to repent. Notice what God is. God, this is very strong language here. What's a command? You have to help me, Danny. Danny, stand up. Good job. Thank you. That wasn't a request I gave him, was it? I was telling him. Stand. Thank you, Danny. You good job. I commanded him to stand up. That was a command. Look, stand up. You know, God looks down at the world and he says, look, get saved. Look, I command you to believe. God wants everyone to be saved. He commands them to be saved. That doesn't mean that they're going to agree, but look, that's how strongly God wants everyone to be saved. He commands it. Which just goes to show we have free will to choose or not to choose. Because if God commands it and it doesn't happen, it's not because of lack of his power. It's because he gives us the choice. If God commanded you to get saved and you didn't have a choice, guess what? You get saved. Because God commanded it. Hey, when God said, let there be light, he didn't have to repeat himself. Let there be light. Let there be light. It doesn't say, in the beginning, God said, let there be light three times, and there was light. It only takes once. If God commanded, entire world be saved, then we would get saved, and we wouldn't have a choice. So if God commands the world to be saved, but the whole world doesn't get saved, it's because he gives you the choice of whether or not to be saved or not and to listen to him or not. Because true love is never forced. I said true love is never forced. I can't force my wife to love me with my good looks. I'm glad you got that joke. Good. I can't force my wife to love me. If she really loves me, it has to come from her heart. It's not something I can make her do. And God isn't looking for a bunch of robots. We love you. Command and obey. That's no fun. You know, it's a whole lot better. You know, if we could make, you know how they're making robots like people now? They look like people. They talk like people. You know, if I had three kids that were robots, and they came every night to give me hugs and kisses. Good night. Good night, Daddy. We love you. Going to power down now. That wouldn't mean as much as Wesley, William, and Kimberly, living, breathing souls, coming to me and saying, good night, Daddy. We love you. And meaning it. Warms my heart. Warms God's heart when the people he's created to worship him choose to worship him from their heart. He don't want a bunch of robots. But he does want you to believe. Commandeth all men everywhere to repent. Why? Verse 31. Because he hath appointed a day in the which he will judge the world in righteousness by that man whom he hath ordained. Whereof he hath given assurance unto all men in that he hath raised him from the dead. What man was raised from the dead? Of course, it was Jesus Christ. Acts 10:42 says, and he commanded us to preach unto the people and to testify that it is he which was ordained of God to be the judge, capital J, of quick and dead. To him give all the prophets witness that through his name whosoever believeth in him shall receive remission of sins. Whoever believes in the name of Jesus Christ shall be saved, and all their sins will be forgiven because he paid the penalty with his blood on the cross of Calvary. Like the song we sang earlier, there is power in the blood. John 5:22-23, for the Father judgeth no man, but hath committed all judgment unto the Son, that all men should honor the Son, even as they honor the Father. He that honoreth not the Son, honoreth not the Father, which hath sent him. When everyone stands before the judgment throne of God, they'll stand before the Son of God. The Father's letting him judge everybody, because he's the one that gave his life, and he's the one they either accepted or rejected. Romans 12:16, in the day when God shall judge the secrets of men by Jesus Christ, according to my gospel. 2 Timothy 4:1, I charge thee therefore before God and the Lord Jesus Christ, who shall judge the quick and the dead at his appearing and his kingdom. Jesus Christ is going to judge all of us. Ecclesiastes 12:14, Solomon says, for God shall bring every work into judgment with every secret thing, whether it be good or whether it be evil. Matthew 12:36-37, but I say unto you that every idle word that men shall speak, they shall give account thereof in the day of judgment. For by thy words thou shalt be justified, and by thy words thou shalt be condemned. Every single word that we speak, God tracks. Now, when it comes to organizational skills, I lack and am still growing. God's organizational skills are supreme. I mean, stop and think about this. Everyone in here this morning, he has every hair of your head numbered. It's easier for him on some of us. But if I still sat down and tried to count every hair in my head, not happening. He knows every hair on every head on every body in the world. 6 billion people. And how many hairs? I wonder how many hairs the average person has on their head. Things that you think about in the middle of a sermon. If it's 100,000 hairs and there's 6 billion people, then God knows 6 billion times 100,000 hairs and where they are at any given point in time. God knows every grain of sand on the seashore, and he knows how many grains there are. God knows how many gallons are in the oceans and how many drops of water there are in the oceans and how many molecules of H, hydrogen, and how many molecules of O, oxygen, make up those. And he knows how many atoms are in the molecules. And he remembers and knows every word we've ever said. Uh-oh. And we will give account of the words we've said, the actions that we've done one day before God. Let's look at the Athenians' response to the gospel in Acts chapter 17 again, verse 32. Thank you for your attention this morning. And when they heard of the resurrection of the dead, some mocked. That's ridiculous. And others said, we will hear thee again of this matter. So Paul departed from among them. And I like verse 34. Howbeit certain men clave unto him and what? Believed. Among the which was Dionysius the Areopagite and a woman named Damaris. And others with them. Let me ask you a question this morning. We're coming to a close of the message. Which of these three categories do you fall into? You know, there are some who mock and they say God is just an invisible fairy tale in the sky. One day that invisible will become visible to them and they'll realize their error. Others, maybe you're part of those that as the Lord has spoken to your heart, he is drawing you and you're interested, but maybe you still have some questions. You say, I would hear again of this matter. Tell me some more about this Jesus. Can I hear some more about this gospel? Maybe that's the category you fall in this morning. Or hopefully you're part of the third category or soon will be. And you choose to believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. No matter which of these three categories you fall into, look, every one of us, everyone and everyone from all three of those groups will one day, when they appear before God, bow the knee. And every tongue will confess and say these words, Jesus Christ is Lord. But let me just say, at that day, it will be too late for you to believe on the Lord. At that day, you'll definitely believe in the Lord. But you can no longer have the opportunity to believe on the Lord. Make sure you believe on the Lord and you call out to him and you tell him you believe in him and you ask him to come and live inside your heart. You ask him to forgive you of all of your sins now while you're still breathing and alive. He's commanding you to believe. He's calling you to believe. He's not willing that any should perish. He wants everyone to come to live with him. Have you called on God in prayer and told him you believe his son died, was buried, and rose again for you? He's calling you this morning. The Holy Spirit of God is drawing you this morning. He's speaking to you this morning. Will you answer? Let's bow our heads and close our eyes.